Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a new court ruling may mean more health care for Georgia kids on Medicaid. Lawmakers push major corporations to oppose redistricting. And what listening to frogs can tell us about the state of the natural world.
They're an indicator species. They are going to do well if they have healthy ecosystems.
Today is Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. The state of Georgia may have to provide more care to sick kids. A federal court has found some of the state's policies for kids on Medicaid don't satisfy federal requirements for adequate care. The ruling in the case originated with a 3-year-old boy with a rare metabolic disease. A lower court ruled that the Georgia Department of Community Health didn't approve enough nursing care for him. Without enough care, the boy could have died. A 3-judge panel of the 11th Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals has upheld that lower court's order. The ruling could influence how Medicaid is administered in Georgia and in the rest of the court's jurisdiction, which includes Alabama and Florida. A DCH spokesperson said today that the agency was still reviewing the court's decision and had no comment. The agency's lawyers had argued in court that the decision to limit the child's nursing hours was legal because it followed agency policy. Georgia lawmakers signed a letter opposing Republican-led redistricting efforts and urging major corporations to defend voting rights. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports from the Congressional Black Caucus.
The letter from the Congressional Black Caucus was signed by Representatives Lucy McBath, Nakima Williams, Sanford Bishop, and Hank Johnson. It states that redistricting will, quote, dilute black voting strength and, quote, silence black communities. Georgia will redraw the state's political maps in June, following a Supreme Court decision weakening the Voting Rights Act of 1965. The new maps will take effect in 2028. The caucus is asking companies to send statements condemning attacks on voter protections, report corporate political spending, and join civil rights advocates defending black political power. They've given companies until June 9th to respond. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
Metro Atlanta's Gwinnett County honored fallen military and public service heroes yesterday during its annual Memorial Day ceremony. Officials honored DeKalb County Police Officer David Rose, who died in the line of duty in August 2025. Before joining the police academy, Rose served in the U.S. Marine Corps for 4 years. DeKalb County Police Sergeant Trey Jones was Rose's lead instructor while at the police academy. He spoke about Rose's composure during difficult moments.
I often wondered whether the composure came from his military background or whether it was just simply who Rose was. I eventually realized it was both. He possessed a quiet confidence that didn't strengthen him. It strengthened everyone around him.
Gwinnett County Police Officer Pradeep Tamang was also honored yesterday. Tamang died in the line of duty on February 1st of this year during a dispatch call. Assistant Chief Joel Witt of the Gwinnett County Police Department said the Tamang family immigrated to the United States when Pradeep was 9 years old.
Pradeep was indeed molded by adversity and shaped by circumstance, from refugee camps to a patrol car in Gwinnett County. He chose a life of service. He carried his family's story, their sacrifices, and their hopes with him every time he put on a badge.
Rose and Tamang's names were added to the Gwinnett Fallen Heroes Memorial. State troopers have arrested 259 people for driving under the influence over the Memorial Day holiday travel period so far. The Georgia Department of Public Safety said yesterday that law enforcement agencies statewide have reported 9 fatalities on Georgia highways as of yesterday morning. One of the more alarming charges involves a driver who was clocked at speeding at 172 miles an hour in Metro Atlanta's Douglas County. Plans on Jekyll Island have supporters worried about the future of the state-owned barrier island. GPB media partner The Current reports the Jekyll Island Authority, which oversees the island's conservation and development, is planning for significant growth in visitation. The proposals will add up to 185 new hotel rooms, an increase of 13%, and parking in what's now a wooded lot. A petition urging officials to, quote, rein in overdevelopment garnered more than 2,000 signatures in a week. Horse-drawn carriage tour operators in Savannah are suing the city over an ordinance that they say would put them out of business. Savannah City Council members last year approved regulations prohibiting horse-drawn carriage tours when the temperatures reach 85 degrees or the heat index reaches 100 degrees. In a lawsuit filed last week, three companies claim the ordinance runs afoul of a state law that prohibits municipalities from regulating livestock. Georgia law enforcement officers and veterans recently traveled to Marietta to attend a free training for police dogs and their handlers. GPB's Ellen Eldridge was there.
Police officers from specialized canine units in Conyers, Marietta, and Cobb County gathered with their dogs at a water park in Marietta. Bo Poole is with the Cobb County Police Department. He's playing the bad guy.
Getting bit by some dogs, doing some training.
I'm pleased with your canine. If you're in this crawl space now, so now you're going
to
get bit.
You wear the bite suit, you get the dog amped up. You learn how to catch the dog and where he can bite you without hurting himself and hurting you.
To the dogs, it's a game.
And then how to engage with him to kind of make it fun for him while you're playing. Almost like you're playing, keeping him engaged, keeping him in contact with you.
So. But for the law enforcement officers, the experience could mean the difference between life or death. Spike's school fund covers all training and certifications that the handlers often have to pay out of their own pockets. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Frog calls are a common sound in Georgia and across the South during the spring and summer. Usually, these vocal amphibians are heard and not seen. Recently, in Jackson County, experts led kids and some adults to see some elusive frogs in the wild and to learn what frogs can tell us about our environment. Emma Auer of WUGA in Athens reports.
This is a northern cricket frog.
It's getting close to dark as a group of about 30 kids and their parents set off into the woods by Winder Highway in Jackson County. Here, the tree line holds an incredible secret. Acres and acres of wetland teeming with insects, plants, and yes, frogs. Aaron Cork is an amphibian biologist with the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, and she's here to help lead something called a frog walk.
Frog walks, yeah, they take you into just nature, and you're going to hear other things. We saw a Luna moth that had just emerged earlier on the path, so maybe we'll see some more cool insects tonight, too, along with the herp species.
Those so-called herp species include frogs, the main attraction of the evening. This is the first frog walk hosted by the Oconee River Land Trust, an organization that conserves land around the state of Georgia and beyond. Hadrian Turner is a land steward with the ORLT. He says that one major way to protect frog species is through preventing wetlands like these from being developed. And one way to do this is to conserve the land through something called an easement.
Once the easement is placed, it basically restricts some of the use of the property, like certain development rights, certain, you know, cutting hardwoods. It implements, you know, much larger stream buffers, and that, you know, agreement stays tied to the deed of the land.
This evening, the group is setting off onto an easement given to Jefferson City Schools by a group of duck hunters who owned it before and wanted it protected. Environmental sciences teacher Liz French says students look after this place.
High schoolers come and do water quality sampling. That's a big thing that we've been doing continually with our high school environmental science classes.
Scientists Turner and Cork agree that this protected land is doing well. The proof? All the singing frogs.
They're an indicator species. They are going to do well if they have healthy ecosystems.
As the sky turns dark and the barely worn path is lit up by headlamps, more and more frogs start to sing. Cricket frogs, bullfrogs, and even the bird-voiced tree frog all add their songs to a growing chorus.
Guys, that's a pretty cool frog call here, because it's kind of rare in this area, the bird-voiced tree frog.
Derek Pope attended the frog walk. Already a nature enthusiast, he says he learned to recognize frog calls.
I thought the frog walk was fantastic. Just having experts point out species that you might recognize the call, but not actually know.
He also says he had no idea that this wetland existed off of the Northeast Georgia Highway. Hadrian Turner, the event's organizer, says that was part of Frog Walk's goal.
You wouldn't know this was here driving by. And, you know, Jackson County, among other counties around here, is under extremely high development pressure. So it's really important to show people that, like, every little bit counts.
And here they plan to spread the word, one frog walk and class at a time. For WUGA, I'm Emma Auer in Jackson County.
And that's it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And remember to subscribe to this podcast because we're coming back at you tomorrow afternoon. Your feedback is welcome, of course, and the best way to get it to us is by email. When you send an email to us, it'll go to the whole team. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.